Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. This season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix, May 16th. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
Welcome to Katie's Crib, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Okay, Albie, we have to interview Vera now, but is there any other last things you want to tell me or Daddy or any of our listeners?
My favorite thing's being, I'm grateful for being a ninja and my family.
I love it. Say peace out.
Peace out, brothers.
Love you. Okay, do you want to say bye-bye?
Bye-bye, Daddy.
She's saying
bye-bye. Bye-bye, I love you.
I love you, Vivi. Yeah. Great job. Hello, everybody. Hello, friends, mamas, Katie's Crib community, caretakers, everyone. This is wild that I'm even about to say this, but I'm currently about to record the final episode of Katie's Crib. My goodness, have we all gone through stuff together, and I'm just so grateful. I'm sitting here just so grateful, and I am bringing to you a last episode with my family, because who else best to ask how I've been doing as a mom and everything that I've learned from Katie's Crib with your support, but Adam, Albie, and Vera, right? So they're my guests today. This is the final episode of season 6 and the final episode of Katie's Crib. We've done 6 seasons. Give it up for 6 seasons. Are you kidding? When I started this, when we would record in Albie's crib nursery room, hence the title, I had no idea that this would be my safe space. I had no idea this would be my mom village. I had no idea this could be the platform where I could take all of my biggest worries and heartbreaks and anxieties and joys and triumphs and failures and find any sort of expert or other mom who'd been through it to come on, and hopefully all together we could learn how to get through this whole thing. Which we are still doing. But I want you all to know this is not the end of us. Look, the podcast can be referred to constantly. I listen back to the things experts say all the time because I forget amazing lessons that I learned in seasons 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But beyond that, thank gosh for social media. Thank gosh, who am I? Good morning. Thank God for social media, because you can always reach me and I can always reach you. And there are exciting potential Katie's Crib things in the works, just FYI. So I can't really say what those things are right now, but there are Katie's Crib future lives that are in the works and potentially happening. This work is so near and dear to my heart. So even though this is the final episode of Katie's Crib as a podcast, we are not final. Does that make any sense? Am I making any sense? Let's get on with it, right? Because otherwise, I'm just going to sit here like a blubbering mess. I cry a lot on this podcast. So, guys, the guest today, as I just explained,
yes,
is the love of my life.
We're back, baby! Katie's Crib!
My husband, my baby daddy, my everything.
All of those things.
Adam Mark Shapiro.
Shep-a-shaps.
So, Adam, how has Katie's Crib affected our journey as parents, do you think?
I mean, a big part of the way that it's affected me, I think, is it's so hard to get to my underwear drawer while you're recording it.
So I am deceased.
I've gone a lot of days commando because you're recording Katie's Crib and I can't get in my closet.
My clawfish has just like a piece of plastic that I open up the drawer. You've seen photos, and I will post photos at the time of this podcast airing. But yeah, I'm usually in here pretty early recording, and Adam can't get to his underwear. Do you even remember this podcast starting? Do you remember when I used Akua used to come over in Albie's nurse? It was his nursery. Then it was the playroom. Now it's his room because Vera's moved. We've done a lot of musical bedrooms in this house to make it all work. But
yes.
She used to come over and like Kate, Kristen Bell came, Rebecca Beninati, Jen yep. Finnegan. Pre-COVID, we were recording in a studio. We were having round tables with a bunch of people.
My first experiences with Katie's Crib were making the logo and adding the bottle to the logo.
Oh.
Oh
my God.
Remember that?
I do remember that.
I bring the graphic design as well, not just fathering the children.
Is he not just a one-stop shop of perfection, this man?
I've just had such a unique experience with Katie's Crib being the co-parent to you. No one else in the world gets to listen to this podcast and be like, oh, I didn't realize she felt that way about that, or I didn't realize that happened. Or we hadn't had time to talk about that story, and that was actually new to me. It was almost like a podcast just for me in a lot of ways. To listen to and get to hear your insights in a way that probably most husbands and wives or co-parents don't actually have the time to sit down and talk about.
Yes. But then also, didn't you find it really hard in the beginning? I remember like I would learn things from experts about shit we were doing wrong or not to the best of our ability.
Yeah. You'd come streaming out of the closet and be like, Adam, we need to.
Yeah. Or like you would be in the middle of doing something like, we would learn something and we would kind of use it against each other, not in a bad way, but in a good way. I would put a lot of food out on their plates and Adam would be like, Talia Moore, the nutrition episode, like we know we're not supposed to give them, like this is overwhelming and causes anxiety. Daniel Siegel comes on and it's all about rupture and repair. And if there was a rupture and you and Albie got into some sort of upsetting moment and then I'm like, you can go in there and you just have to say, remember when that happened, Albie? I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah. And sometimes I'd be like, I appreciate the advice, Katie. And then
also,
other times I'd just be like, I don't want it, Katie's Crib this moment right now. I just want to yell at him and put him in his room.
I know. Here's an example where my kids were older than your son is at that time, but I had a 9 at the time, my daughter, and our son was 14. And we were walking by this crepe store near where we live. And my son said, he's hungry. I said, oh, do you want a crepe? And he said, yeah, I love a crepe. And then I asked his sister, do you want a crepe? She goes, I'm not hungry. I said, fine. You know, so we went in, he got a crepe. And then she said to him, can I have a taste of your crepe? He goes, no. And I'm just fuming inside. Like I've done a horrible job teaching him to be a sharer and he's selfish and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I exploded. Luckily, my wife was home and she intervenes when all three of us get home. Mm-hmm. And then my system is starting to just slowly calm down. And so his sister and I go for rollerblading out on the street. And she says to me, she goes, Dad, what was going on? Why did you get so angry? I said, oh, you know, because he didn't share the crepe with you. She goes, I can handle myself. What was happening? I said, oh, I was trying to, I guess, work through the way my parents never protected me. So I was trying to protect you. And since she looks at me, she goes, this is your own garbage. She goes, why don't you work this out on your own time?
And that's parenting.
This crepes of wrath business, that was the rupture and then figuring it out. But the repair happened when she and I got back from the rollerblading thing. We had a family meeting and I apologized to my son for having, you know, flipped my lid for just asserting his right to eat his crepe by himself.
The kids are so great. And I think a lot of our battles have had to do with food. And I think maybe that's just me projecting because a lot of my battles have to do with food.
Yeah.
But I think that first or second episode with Talia when she was talking about nutrition was like, that was like a huge corner that we turned with Albie, and I think it's smoothed
huge.
Things out for years because of that.
Oh, yeah. This is what I hear in my head all the time. What and when they eat is up to me. If they eat is up to them. Parenthood is so much about fighting the things that have been pushed into you from your childhood experience, good or bad. Am I going to do this the same? Am I going to do this different? And am I going to learn mostly about yourself and your own shit in the process. it's been such a gift to have access to the best experts and people who've been through it before. Like, for example, we're going to potty train Vera this weekend. And I'm already like, oh, I just go back and listen to Jamie Gowacki's episode, who wrote the book, Oh Crap. And I feel like a pro already.
Because the signs of readiness, quote unquote, are so subtle, I always say between 20 and 30 months is perfect, right? And the biggest issue, you guys, is you can certainly potty train before 20 months. It's going to be a longer learning curve, but you don't get any attitude. The kid just takes a little longer to connect the dots. After 36 months, your kid goes through a psychological process called individuation, which means they begin to realize they're a separate person from you.
Yep.
So yeah. So all I tell people is I don't really give a rat's ass when you potty train. I have no investment whatsoever. I don't care if your kid goes to college in diapers. Just know that every month that goes by, you are cementing a different habit. Diaper wearing is a habit. That's it.
Yeah, we've had unprecedented access to all of the biggest experts in all of the fields of child development.
Like fucking Harvey Karp came on, the inventor of the snoo and the five fucking S's.
Yeah, that was pretty great. That was great.
What snoo does, in addition to rocking and shushing all night, is that it hears when the baby cries and responds with a little bit more jiggle and shush.
I mean, come on. But it's true.
We're the most awarded baby product in history for innovation, technology, safety, and design. It's in three of the leading art museums around the world.
We loved it because I was a bad swaddler. And mm-hmm. So this new comes with a really beautifully tight zip-upable sleep sack sort of thing that you put the baby in. And it is it's a swaddle.
Exactly.
But I'm not doing it with all this material that he's getting out of, and it's terrible.
Right.
Our kids slept like a baby.
That's one thing we didn't fuck up. We fucked up a lot of stuff, but sleeping, we nailed. And honestly, that is a testament to Adam Shapiro and incredible boundaries. Because if I was married to somebody else, my kids would be in the bed. I would have no ability to say no. And Adam, just you really were like, no, they just have a really good relationship to sleep and putting themselves to sleep. And you really fought for that as a massive value in the health of this family of four.
Yeah. Come on. I need my sleep. I'm not messing around. I don't need to be getting kicked in my balls every two hours in the bed by Albie. Like, that was huge. That was huge for us to like really get comfortable and learn everything there was to know about infants and toddlers and kids sleeping, because it's a huge part of the early part of parenting is the sleeping
stuff.
I can't tell you how many conversations I had with friends and like the unbelievable struggles that they've been having with their kids sleeping and not sleeping and getting in their bed and waking up in the middle of the night and all that kind of stuff. And we were able to have access through Katie's crib to some really amazing information that we implemented immediately.
Yes.
And this was all happening for us in real time too.
Yes.
Like we started with sleeping and nutrition, and those were two things that we were able to put in there right away. And
I also think it helps your marriage because there's a middle person who's an expert telling us what to do versus one parent struggling with a differing opinion than another parent. Like, I think when Betsy Brown Braun came on, she wrote the book, You're Not the Boss of Me and Just Tell Me What to Say. And Albie we were having a lot of difficulty mitigating the discipline waters with him.
A consequence needs to be related to what the misstep was. And more times than not, it will work.
Okay, let's say a kid hits another kid. What's the consequence? You are at a pool party.
Okay. Hitting is that's one of those topics. I mean, I'd be asking you lots of questions, but if we've walked into the party and I've said, Albie, we're going to this party. There will be other kids. If there is a problem, you come and get me and I will help you. We do not hit. If you need to hit, we will leave. Now, the other part of this is maybe he doesn't want to be there. And he wants to leave. So maybe he goes, okay, we're off.
No, but I understand that's a logical consequence, right?
Correct.
He was hitting kids. He was having tantrums. and we had just brought Vera into the world, and her episode was so instrumental in terms of like natural consequences. It was like taking away the object. Your sisters are going to go away. You can't play with her until you're ready to play with her in a different way.
Yeah. Betsy had like the tiniest little adjustments that you can make that just made all the difference in the world. For example, like even before we talked to Betsy, it's like you remember when we were talking about Albie was having trouble sleeping at one point? We had like a sleep trainer to tell us, oh, he needs to eat 5 minutes before you guys are feeding him.
Yeah, that was Susie Menke's of the Healthy Little Susan. Sleepers episode.
Yeah, Dr. Menke's, you know, and she came in and she gave us this 5 minute adjustment. I just thought it was so ridiculous to hear. And then all of a sudden you started feeding him 5 minutes earlier and it just made this giant difference in the entire course of the night. It's amazing.
How do you wean a baby off of nighttime feedings in order to get a longer chunk stretch of sleep?
Mm-hmm. So again, so the first feeding, we want it after midnight.
Right. Because their brain's going to develop if they go down at 7 p.m. and they sleep till midnight. That's a great 5 hour developmental chunk.
Right.
Okay.
And then you can do it a couple ways. You can push the time out. So let's say two nights in a row, they made it to 12:30. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tomorrow night, let's try and make it 12:45 or 1 o'clock.
Okay.
So you can push it out that way. You can also reduce how much time wise or ounces.
That's what I did.
And kind of push it out that way. So they get it. Their stomach is less full.
Right.
So they're not used to sleeping on a full stomach.
No one teaches you this shit, too. How are you supposed to fucking know?
Well, there's a lot of books. You can listen
there's
to
There's a lot
Crib.
Of books, but oh my God, who's got time? I literally have talked to 1,000 moms between this podcast and just living our lives. And I don't think I've ever known any mom that has actually finished
A parenting book?
Yeah. Also, everything's a phase. By the time you think you've read a book on the thing your kid is going through, it's changed. It's just so hard.
You're into the next thing.
Any particular episodes or moments that touched or changed you?
The one that really sticks out is when Kristen Bell was talking about Dax having to suck out the clogged...
Her clogged duct? Yeah.
So mastitis is an
infection. It's a blocked milk duct.
Ooh.
So look, if your milk doesn't come in, you might feel like you suck and you have to go to formula. Don't beat yourself up. If your milk does come in and you have too much milk like I did, your ducts can get blocked very easily and you still feel like you suck because what can happen with mastitis is it gets blocked. It starts to get sore. If you are not so on top of that, you have to stand under the shower. You have to put heat packs on it. You have to open that duct up or get that baby to suck.
And it's so painful?
It's pretty painful in the beginning when it's forming. If it goes to the second stage and the baby doesn't suck it out, it can get infected. The third stage after, if it gets infected, it can go to your blood and it's like literally hospital. You could die. So you have to be very serious about mastitis.
Is so serious.
I will never forget it. Dangle feeding.
Dangle
feeding so that the gravity helps, you know, your boob. You're basically on all fours and the baby's breastfeeding on the floor so that maybe the gravity will help pull the clog out. Guys, this shit is horrifying and so hard. And I'm pumping and I'm massaging and I'm taking diapers, filling them with hot water, microwaving them for 20 seconds, and then taking a steaming hot diaper and placing it on my boob, just trying to like heat sometimes gets it out, massage. One time I took a fucking Theragun. I don't recommend this. Please, I'm not a doctor. Don't listen to me.
Yeah,
I took a Theragun
to
my boob, but I got to the point where I said to Adam, I've got the worst duct. I'm so scared of getting mastitis. I'm not going to make it. The baby's suction is not hard enough to get it out. The pump isn't working. It's going to have to be.
Yeah, but because Dax did it, I was like, I'm going to do it too.
Had you not known that Dax had never done it, do you think you would have said no?
Yeah, I just would have been like, what are you talking about? This is insane. There's got to be a better way. Talk about having to rupture and repair. That would have taken a while for us to get over. The postpartum depression stuff that you guys talked about, that really helped me too, because in a weird way, I think like when you went through your postpartum is like maybe when I had the most energy and most time for parenting. And maybe that was just the natural yin and yang of a marriage and a relationship that I felt like you were not
gone.
Yeah, you were not able to be there. And so I needed to be there more. and make up for it or whatever. Yeah, it was just a hard thing for me to understand, having not gone through it. And then those episodes really put that into perspective. That really helped me out a lot.
I had had other friends that were pregnant during the pandemic alongside with me, and they had all told me that once the baby was here, that their anxiety and fears diminished basically down to zero. And that's what I was hoping for, that I just had to make it across the finish line to bringing her here. And what I slowly, over the next 4 to 6 weeks, realized after Vera had been here was that my experience took a 180 from my friend's experiences, and my anxiety and depression got worse instead of better. And that's when we knew I had to get more help. And Rebecca, again,
jumped in.
Was one of my first texts and jumped in, giving me a plethora of other moms who had been diagnosed with postpartum depression and anxiety who were on medication or not on medication or had been doing different things so that I had other moms who were ahead of me that I could talk to.
And just ahead of you. Like their meds
just ahead of me.
Just
yeah.
kicked in a week yep. prior or 2 weeks yep. prior.
Rebecca being like, here are all the moms I know that have been diagnosed with postpartum depression who are on Zoloft, who are breastfeeding, who are da da da. And I'm going to put you in touch with them so you can ask them a billion questions about their experience and blah, blah, blah. And so really, you've been our doula for life. And as you can tell, I think you can both attest, since getting help and Vera being here, I am doing much better. What do you
yes.
think, Adam?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, I would think that postpartum depression, anyone who's listening to this podcast, not only was Katie's Crib so instrumental in helping us personally parent, and I hope it's helped you all listening, but I'm really proud of some of the work that I did and that we all did together. And it definitely falls in the one example of that is the postpartum depression episodes. And I hope that it just provided women with some comfort and
I know it has. We walk on the street all the time and women come up to you and they thank you for very specific episodes. I think it's so funny, but you never know which episode they're going to bring up or what they're going to say they're going through. For those listening, Katie has this uncanny sort of personality trait where strangers just open up to her in the most personal ways right off the bat. I'm talking somebody next to her on the plane is going to be talking to her about her menstrual cycle within before we take off.
It's because I just ask questions and I don't think people get asked questions from someone that actually is listening.
Yeah. And that's what you do.
Even though I don't ask you questions or listen to you.
Yeah. When does that happen? That's why I come on Katie's Crib.
Yes, because I'll give you way more attention on here.
Oh, this is the best. What else do you want to talk about?
The other thing I was super proud of. So the postpartum depression anxiety journey sucked. Absolutely sucked. And I hope and was awful and scary and brought me to my fucking knees and is the worst I've ever felt, the most afraid I've ever been. I do look back on it and I don't even feel like that person. And you all really went through that journey with me of learning about it, going on medication, being able to get through it and get back to work and get back to enjoying parenting. Because good Lord, I probably should have been on medication my entire pregnancy with Vera in COVID, because I look back and I was such a shell of a parent. I really was not available during that time. But because of you all and because of the podcast and thank God the access to the doctors and psychiatrists and therapists that I had access to, and my husband texting my friends saying that something's up, something's wrong.
Yeah, but that was because we had done the episode in between Albie and Vera. So I kind of knew exactly what was happening when it was happening. And I immediately called, I believe, episode 3's guest,
Rebecca Beninati.
I called her immediately and I was like, Katie's struggling and, tell me what to do here.
Oh, this is why Adam Shapiro is the greatest husband in the entire world, which is what I tell people and what we learned from like Alyssa Berlin, that not only should there be a birth plan, but there should be a post-birth plan, which is at about the 3 week mark to the 4 week mark, if your partner, mother, spouse, best friend is looking at you and they don't recognize who they see, and the emotional ups and downs that are more the postpartum blues, which are very common. But if that isn't shifting towards you're just crying all day, all night for no reason, having anxiety attacks that are disproportionate to what's going on, and you're not yourself, I think the post-birth plan for your partners and caretakers is to say, hey, before I give birth to this baby, I just want to have a conversation with you that if I don't look like myself at week 3 or 4 and I'm not acting like myself, can you call someone to help me? Or let's just make a list of therapist numbers to have on hand.
That 3-week mark, if there's still stuff going on, we've segued out of the baby blues and we've segued into something bigger, into those PMATs. Mm-hmm. So perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. Perinatals from conception through that first year of life. Okay. And that's usually that time period that we're looking at. And like we said, mood and anxiety disorders, it's depression, anxiety, obsessive compulsive disorder, which I probably see the most of.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does that look like? What are the symptoms of that?
You know, so it's that combination of the obsession, this intrusive thought that's just sticky and won't go away, and then a compulsion or a behavior, you know, either mental or, you know, something in actuality that we do to alleviate that anxiety. Mm. So we all have intrusive thoughts in our lives, right? We all have those, you know, weird thoughts of like, gosh, what would happen if like the hatch on a plane opens up?
Absolutely.
And you're like, okay, that was weird. Someone who struggles with OCD, it's like there's chewing gum stuck to the end of that thought and they can't seem to shake it. Mm-hmm. And the more it lingers, the more it starts to build up this anxiety.
What do people do when they see that we've made it over the 3-week mark and we're getting worse or we're not getting any better?
And that's really where professional help comes in. Psychotherapy is huge. Mm-hmm. Medication, when, you know, the right time and the right place is awesome.
Absolutely.
And a huge part of the picture, and again, here's one of those things where there's so much stigma, but unless you're in your that person's shoes, no judgment.
None.
Because no one should struggle or suffer when they have a baby.
That leads you back to like the It Takes a Village episodes. I didn't fully appreciate the value in that. And now, especially as the kids get a little bit older, I always felt like when they were like babies, it was a little bit more manageable. Now it's like, there's a Friday night comes along and I am exhausted at the end of the week and the kid. And then like our friends, Jackie and Jason, will invite us over for like a Friday night dinner with a bunch of kids and the entire village.
Thank you, God.
And it's, I couldn't do it without that kind of stuff.
I know. You literally hear hallelujah, like coming from the heavens. Besides the postpartum depression work, I think the other work that I'm so proud of on Katie's Crib that I think has helped us, and we haven't even started to really see how it's going to help us, was when George Floyd was murdered. And I was talking a lot to Shonda Rhimes about how Katie's Crib can be used as a platform to get moms the information on how to be an anti-racist parent. How do we get better? How do we give our children a better sense of vocabulary, how to start with books, how to have conversations about race.
And that reminds me of like the idea of having, not having a 100-minute conversation, but having 101-minute conversations.
That's it.
It's got to be a part of your life.
And you take any opportunity you can. It's such an opportunity I see as learning moments when we're at a, let's say we're at a lunch, right? Albie's done this before. And he'll be like, when he was little, he'd be like, mommy, why is that person's skin black? Or something like that. Why does that person have a mole? Before all the work we did on Katie's Crib about that, I would have absolutely done what my parents did, which is, shh, like we don't talk about, like that's rude.
We don't see color.
Sweep it under the, stupid shit like that. Yeah. Bad. And now thank God for Beverly Tatum, who came on the podcast and all the, oh my God, she wrote the book, Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting at the Same Table in the Cafeteria? It's unfucking believable.
There are things that you can observe and point out to help your child think critically about those questions. And those conversations, not just one, but over time, help them to ask the question, well, who is missing from this picture? You know, why is this happening in this way? And then what could we do about it?
I really am so encouraged by everyone saying, or a lot of people saying, it's okay if you mess up or you're stumbling at first.
And that is really something that's important to remember. You can always come back and say, you know, I was thinking about that conversation we had yesterday, and I said this, but, you know, I've been thinking more about it, and what I really meant was that. So let me tell you more about that.
Right. Everyone should go back and listen to these episodes because they should be learned and relearned and heard often and read those books. But because people have been doing work on this stuff for a million years, and I was just, my first foray was thankfully on this podcast. But knowing to say to Albie, oh, that person has black skin. Look at this person has this. And I would do it proudly. Like, wow, I get to take advantage of this moment versus be embarrassed or think that I'm doing something wrong or think that he's wrong. Like, he's curious about that people look different. And
yeah,
and it was all because of Beverly being on the podcast that I even knew how to respond.
There's also the idea that she brought up, I think that it's okay to say, oh, that's a really interesting question. I don't know the answer to that. Maybe you and I go look up what the answer is to that, you know?
Totally. That's Sasha Sagan's episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What did they say when you said to them, is there a God?
Well,
because I am scared. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, when Albie's old enough to be like, is there one? Like, I don't know, and I don't know what I'm going to say.
Well, but I think that's the answer is, I mean, if this is how you think, obviously, if you're devoutly religious.
Of course.
Go, you know, of course. Say what you believe. But if you're skeptical, or I think I don't know is a totally acceptable answer.
There's so much value in A, teaching your kid that it's okay not to know the answer.
It's great.
And teaching your kid how to then go about finding out that answer instead of just making up something that maybe we were taught when we were kids. Or
feeling like because I'm the parent, I should know the answer to everything.
I should just know this and I'm just going to make it up.
And if your kid asks you something about race, something that's difficult, God, death, sex,
yeah,
anything, and you don't know, rather than make some shit up, it's better for you to be like, you know what? That's a great question. I don't know the answer 100%. I'm going to go find out my answer and I'll come back to you. And days later, after you've called your village, after you've read some blurbs online from experts that you highly respect, after you've listened to episodes of Katie's Crib, you come back to your kid and you say, hey, you remember when you asked me this? I actually did some research and my answer is this. I was not given a vocabulary to talk about race growing up because my parents didn't talk about it. Similarly, sex either, they didn't talk about. Books that are developmentally appropriate for the age is a great way in to know how to talk about it. Do you know what I mean? And we've done tons of episodes with links to books of what you could read on those topics. Thinking, talking about sex, though, in 100-minute conversations, I always think about you and your dad, Adam, and how much he fucked it up.
Instead of a 100-minute conversation or 101-minute conversations, it was just one-minute conversation.
Tell the story about sex. Your parents never talked to you about sex before this 1 minute?
I don't believe so. No, it was literally, it wasn't even a minute. It was a couple sentences right as we were getting off the exit of 495, dropping me off at my dorm freshman year. It was a little late.
18 years old, you're being dropped off at University of Maryland. Your dad's driving you from Philadelphia to Maryland. You're literally pulling off the exit. And what does he say?
You know to use protection, right? Like, yep, got it. Done. Let's talk about what we're doing for lunch. That was so uncomfortable.
That was the extent. That is not okay.
But to his credit, though, I took a lot of supplemental sexual education outside of school.
How?
Like, my synagogue had stuff about AIDS and
health
STDs,
class
health
and stuff.
There was a lot of stuff. I became like a youth AIDS expert on
that's
how
awesome.
To
yeah. I didn't know that.
Yes, I knew what was up.
When our kids are early bloomers, especially our daughter, we're going to come back on this podcast. It's going to be called Katie's Crib, The Teen Years. And Adam is going to be a fucking disaster area. Like, yeah, he looks at the teens walking around LA, the girls who are like 12 years old wearing just, it's so
I always
different.
Ask Katie, I'm like, is that girl 12 or 47? Like, I have no, I don't understand these kids. Wait, Katie.
Yes.
This was one that I thought was really instrumental for you.
Oh, what?
Remember Shefali?
Oh, yeah, huge.
She said that you get the kid that is going to teach you the most.
Oof. This was the one book that Kerry Washington told me to read, which I read a lot of it. I actually read a lot of it.
You just always say, wow, like the kids, oh, like how he does, it's like the one thing I can't handle is what he does, or the one thing I don't want to talk about is what he wants to talk about right now. And she always says that you get the kid that is going to teach you the most about life. And maybe they're actually going to like help you round out the person that you are.
It's supposed to bring you to the next level. I mean, if you want to go woo woo about it, of consciousness, but the life's lessons can get you so far, and you're gifted a child who Albie has completely rocked me as a human being. And I'm convinced that this is Vera later for you. Do you think that's going to be true? Because Albie doesn't bring you what does to you what he does to me.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But I think Vera will be the child to get you to your next level of consciousness in her entire about 9 years old to 16.
Yes, I agree. Oh, no, already. Already.
Explain
Vera.
Why. Like, well, explain why Vera is your greatest challenge.
Albie and I just have such a shorthand. For me, it's so easy to sort of
parent him.
Teach him and talk him in circles until he's doing what he thinks that he's decided, but it's really what I need him to do. Like that kind of stuff with Albie.
Oh, I am fucking terrible. When I realized that we had a child that you had to do reverse psychology on, I was like, I am fucked. Like I cannot. That is not where I go instinctually. It is not.
But you also say you. I mean, this is something that I say to you all the time. You say, I cannot do this. I not, as if it's like a mantra.
Yeah, sure.
Really,
sure.
You can do
point.
It.
That's a good point. He's almost six, and I can honestly say at the time of the recording of this podcast that I am so proud and excited and interested in the person he is and who he's becoming.
Totally.
Yeah, but at three, I was not well about this whole thing. I was, what do you think, Adam? What was that face?
I don't know. Not well? I don't know. God. Moms are, we're just, it's very different worlds, moms and dads.
Why? Extrapolate.
I don't know what you mean by not well with it. Like, it's hard, but I don't like, it doesn't, I just think that there's such a different emotional component to being a mom and being a dad. Like, it's very easy for me to compartmentalize, like, disciplining Albie and then moving on with my day. It's not, like, crushing me to my soul.
It crushes me to my soul. But that might just be me. Okay. How has this podcast strengthened our relationship as a couple?
I think one thing it's done is taken away obstacles. There's so many things that, as a couple, we can be tripping over and causing conflict when it comes to parenting. But having just this wealth of knowledge coming out of Katie's crib has really helped smooth things out. We didn't hit road bumps that we probably would have if we hadn't been listening to these experts.
100%. So everybody listening, tell your friends, if you want to save your relationship, yeah, listen to Katie's crib, because what these experts say make parenting easier, which makes being in your relationship easier.
Oh, yeah, opinion. Exactly.
Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of our favorite Netflix series, Bridgerton. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? And meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. And I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
Okay. Could you want to bring in Albie first or Vera first? Albie will flip out if Vera goes first.
Okay, let me go get him.
Okay. Thanks, baby. Oh my God, I'm so sorry in advance. There's no telling what he will say. There is just no telling. He's quite feral. Oh my gosh.
Come on, Mr. Snuggle Man.
I gotta take a picture of this. I'm like emotional right now. My son and my husband are looking through the camera at me, and they're in the other room in the house. Hi, Albie.
Hello, Mommy.
Hi, sweetie. I'm really happy to see you. Can you tell us, how old are you?
5 3/4.
Wow. And what is your favorite thing to do right now?
Be a ninja.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm a real ninja.
You are a real ninja. Is that what you want to be when you grow up?
No, I'm already a real ninja.
Of course, you're already
a ninja. I have a team on my headquarters over there.
At your headquarters over there. I see. Albie, can you tell our listeners, what is it like having me as a mom?
Very good.
It is?
Like the best.
You're going to make me cry. What's your favorite thing to do with me?
Be with you and play.
What do you like to play together?
I really like to play even more with you on Saturdays and Sundays when I don't have to go to school.
Oh, yeah. What is it that we play?
We play games.
What kind of games?
Candyland.
Oh, yeah. We've played Candyland a lot. Okay. Question for you. Do I yell at you a lot?
Yes.
What? I do not.
Yes, you do.
Do I put you in timeouts a lot? Oh, my goodness. That is not true. You haven't been in a timeout in how many years?
But you gave me so many times. You gave me some timeouts, but Daddy gave me so many when I was free.
Okay, for listeners, just to clarify, I really think in total, Albie's been in 3 to 5 timeouts in his entire life and not one since he was 3, and he's currently 5 3/4. I love you, honey.
No, 5 3/4.
Yeah, you're 5 3/4.
You said 3 3/4.
Can you tell me, what's the game we play at dinner? What are the questions we go around the dinner table and ask?
Please?
We ask questions like, what are you?
What are you grateful for? What are you scared about? What are you anything about?
What was the hardest part of your day? What was the best part of your day? What's your favorite book to read?
My favorite book to read. Gotta be my Pokemon book.
Yeah, we love Pokemon. We're super into Pokemon. Okay, who's stricter, me or Daddy?
Both. Because if you say that, I don't want to make anyone mad, because it's like, who do I like more, Daddy or Mommy? I don't want anyone to get mad. So I choose both.
Oh, I understand why you said that. That makes sense. You love me and Daddy, and some days you love me more, and some days you love Daddy more, but you love us both so much. Like,
no,
I
don't love any of you more any day. I like both of you the same every day.
Oh, I understand. So it's like how I love you and Vera the same, the most possible, every day, all day. That's so kind of you, baby. What else do you want to say to all the listeners listening?
The 2 ninja questions. Monster one and being a ninja.
Okay. How does it feel being a ninja?
Very good.
Oh, okay. That's good. And what did you want me to ask you about monsters?
If they're afraid of,
are you afraid of monsters, Albie?
No, I'm Albie Shapiro. They were afraid of me.
Oh, I like that answer. What's your favorite joke to tell?
I don't have one.
I know. Do you remember we used to do those joke books and you had it memorized backwards and forwards? We got to pull that back out at night.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Chicken.
Chicken who?
Chicken because I'm an animal.
Good one, buddy. Can you tell me, are you having feelings about starting kindergarten?
No.
Just tell me about it.
But I said I'm going to be nervous, but no.
You're not nervous. What are you feeling about kindergarten? What are the feelings you have about it?
If I had to go to camp where, to like the sleep camp, I would be nervous because I do not want to sleep there for 10 days.
No, you do not have to go to sleepaway camp now or ever if you don't want to. We will just continue that conversation as you get older and we'll make a decision with whatever you feel comfortable with. Are you excited about kindergarten?
Yes.
What are you excited about?
I don't even know what's there.
We saw one time they had a Lego class. They have a robotics class.
That's going to be my favorite, the Lego.
The Lego one?
Oh my God.
We dropped our headphones.
Okay, I'm back, guys. Hello.
Okay. Alvi, we have to interview Vera now, but is there any other last things you want to tell me or Daddy or any of our listeners?
My favorite thing's being, I'm grateful for being a ninja and my family.
I love it. Say peace out.
Peace out, brothers.
Love you. Okay, now let's get Vera, and she's going to say two words.
I want to be with mommy still.
You can be with me. Still?
Okay, but we got to, it's Vera's turn.
I want more questions.
We'll ask you more questions later.
Tell him to come over here.
Go get Vera and go say hi to mommy in her office.
Yeah. Oh, God. Now Vera's coming in the office. Okay, you know what? I'll put her right here, Adam. It's all right. Okay, can I have some room for Vera to be in the mic? Oh, no, baby girl. Come here, sweetie.
Abby.
Okay, it's all right. It's
Abby, you got to leave mommy alone.
It's okay.
So she can do the Vera part. Come on.
Mommy.
Okay, ready? Here we go.
Okay, come on.
10 more questions.
Abby, let's go. Let's
okay,
go.
We're here.
Abby, now. 10 more. Now, Abby, we're not playing around. Now.
Okay. Vera, can I ask you a few questions?
What?
Okay. What's your name?
Vera.
Vera. How old are you? Are you two? You see Daddy? How old are you?
Vera.
Daddy and Vera.
Hi, how Vera.
Vera.
Vera, how old are you?
Two.
Yeah, you're two. Can you tell me, what was the hardest part of your day so far? It's really early in the morning. What was the hardest part of your day?
Twinkle.
Okay, what's the scariest part of your day?
Daddy.
What do you want to talk about? You want to sing a song?
Daddy?
Yeah.
Oh, she's moving her tongue around because she's real psyched that she can see her own face. Sing me a song.
Twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are.
Nice ending.
Wow. Is there any other song you want to sing?
Uh-uh.
No. Who is your best friend?
Is it?
Is it Albie? How am I doing as a mom?
Albie?
Yeah, Albie's going to go to school. Do you want to go to school with him? You can just drop him off. You don't have to go to school today.
I'll go to daddy.
You want to go to daddy?
I want mommy.
Oh, you want mommy.
I want mommy. Mommy.
Okay, yeah, we're going to go play. Do you want to go to the park?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, can you tell me something? How am I doing as a mommy?
I'm a park.
You want to go to the park?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go to the park. But wait,
I'm
quick.
A park.
How am I doing as a mommy?
I'm a park.
Okay, do you want to say bye-bye?
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Daddy.
She's saying bye-bye.
Bye-bye, I love you.
I love you, Vivi. Yeah. Great job.
Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of our favorite Netflix series, Bridgerton. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? And meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. And I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
in wrapping up.
Katie's crib. Well, no.
The first thing I want to say is a huge takeaway of mine. I mean, there are so many. And Adam, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today and reminding us about so much of the stuff we've done that has helped us and I hope has helped all of you. I always hear it's not our job to mold them. We unfold them. And I don't even know if anyone said that on the podcast. I don't know where I picked that up, but I feel a great sense of surrender and release in parenting when I know that it's not my job to make him a person.
It's already there. It's in there already.
Of course, it's our job to teach them to be kind and to teach them manners and to teach them about saving the planet and helping people and being better than we've all been, of course. But the pressure is really, that's a lot of pressure, but it makes me feel like there's less pressure in that it's not my job to sign them up for 1,000 things, to have them be perfect all the time and say the right things or wear the right clothes or make sure that they're like succeeding every single day. It's just our job to love them and support them for who they are. And it just makes me feel like I'm gripping the steering wheel of parenthood far less tightly. And that's been a massive relief. That's sort of a big overall takeaway that I've gotten from 6 seasons of this show.
Yeah.
I think I would be even more anxious and even more controlling, if you can believe it.
Okay. No, that's huge. That's huge.
In wrapping up, how do you think I'm doing as a mom?
Killing it.
Do you really?
Of course. This place would fall apart without you.
Well.
We both have our own strengths when it comes to parenting. We both have our own strong points during the actual course of a day. And I think that those things are going to change a lot as the kids get older. But there are a lot of things that you do that there's no fucking way I could do that. You create an amazing community for the kids and of other parents and moms. And you've been super helpful inside and outside of Katie's crib to moms everywhere. And I think that's also come back to us in a lot of amazing ways over the past 5.5 years. I'm so glad that we could have this podcast for the first 5 years of Albie and the first 2 years of Vera's life. It's just, it was an amazing thing for us to go through. And I hope that the listeners felt the same way about their own journeys in parenting.
Adam Shapiro, man, am I lucky. You're a great dad.
You're a great mom, Katie.
And we're doing okay. This is happening. Adam, thank you for being my final guest. Obviously, in so many ways, I couldn't do any of this without you.
Katie's crib, baby.
We love you all so much. I'm so thankful to all of our listeners, all the fans, every mom who stops me on the street and sobs in my arms. I've got you. I'm here for you. I will continue to be here for you. There are some things in the works, so don't hold your breath. There's exciting stuff coming.
Katie's big girl bed? Katie's big girl bed could be the podcast for the children.
That's hilarious. And now I'm not going to cry. Not going to cry. But this is so momentous. Is that the word?
Yeah, it's a very momentous occasion.
Super momentous.
I can't believe I'm here for it.
Stay tuned for more information. You can always find me on the socials. I want to hear from you always. And I just want to say again from the bottom of my heart, thank you.
Katie's Crib is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. This season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.